when we walk out as we were whenever we came in. Lord, we so desperately these days, Lord, we so desperately need to be changed into the image of your Son. So Lord, I pray that you'd help us now in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. We are going to begin looking at the 9 fruits of the Spirit. In your notes, in your book, we're on Roman numeral number 2, the 9 fruits of the Spirit. Now, as we look at the 9 fruits of the Spirit, we need to understand the aspect that not only do we have what God offers to us, but, you know, the devil's not going to be outdone, okay? So he also has what we call perhaps a mimic of these. And then some of what the devil offers is just simply acceptable to us. Joy, if I remember correctly, the joy, the opposite or the work of the flesh is frustration. It's frustration. Now, a lot of times we can just accept frustration because we feel like it's our right to get frustrated about some things. You know, the water heater don't work, the furnace don't work, the car's broke down, everything's going wrong, this person's on me, and this person just cut me off. You know, rawr! You know, that's acceptable to most people. You know, not sure about Lord. Bible says, in the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, right? So, as we look at the fruit of the Spirit, we've got to understand, we'll look at them, that for every one of these, there is a response from the enemy, the flesh, devil, however you want to put it. So, there are, in all, and of course, there is the aspect of when God wants us to, act a certain way, he'll lead us this way, and sometimes not at all, to respond to a circumstance of life, okay? That's what I'm talking about. Sometimes, God, or all the time, God will either lead us in one of these 9, because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is, okay, love, joy, peace, long-suffering. So, through that, we understand that God will lead us in that, or he just won't lead us to say anything at all, not react at all. You know, the Bible says when Jesus was brought before Pilate and all them, the Bible says he opened not his mouth. Didn't say a word to his accusers. They were getting ready to crucify him. He didn't say a word. And sometimes God will lead us in that way, because sometimes it's just better not to say anything than to say the wrong thing. And that takes leading of the Spirit. All right, so as we look at these, we understand that the Spirit will definitely lead us to respond in one of these ways, or no way whatsoever, to the circumstances of life. Okay? And can I just say that it is the Spirit's choice in how He wants us to be led in one of these 9 ways. And that takes God's leading. That's why we talk about God's leading. That's why we talk about getting closer to the Lord. You know, some of us, as we come, the Reformers Unanimous, you know, that we call it spiritual growing. Okay? Paul said, Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word. So we understand by Scripture that when people first come to Christ, they're what we call baby Christians. They may not have ever sought the Lord on anything, you know. But he says to grow thereby. So we understand by that there is a growing, okay? And then whenever the Bible talks about being perfect, he's not talking about not making any mistakes, okay? When God says, be ye holy as I'm holy, or be perfect before the Lord, he means to be mature. That's what perfect means in the Bible right there, okay? It's talking about being mature, growing up. I hope you don't act now the same way you acted when he was a teenager. Amen? All right. No, we don't want to act like that. So, the Spirit will lead us to respond in one of these ways, and it's God who will lead us in these things, okay? It's God who will lead us in His fruit, how He wants us to react to a circumstance of life. 20 ways that we should react to any circumstance of life. Okay? Now that may seem simplistic, but isn't the gospel simplistic? Didn't Jesus say that when you come to me as a child? Right? That's what the Bible says. We want to dress it all up. You know, we want to make it more complicated than what it is. The devil's desire is to trick. You know, well, it can't be that easy. Well, yeah, it is. So, Galatians. Let's look at it. Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter number 5. We know that the Bible talks about, in verse number 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Very simplistic. Hey, you don't want to fulfill the lust of the flesh? Walk in the Spirit. Basic things. But again, we make them complicated when we want to do what we want to do. Now, if you drop down to verse number 22, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Now, there's nothing to come against these. Basically, they're all good. They're all good. Now, as we look at these, we're going to break these down. There's 9 of them, right? So if you break them down, it'll be sets of 3. Okay? And the Bible does that specifically. And there's a reason that they do it specifically. And we'll get to that. But as we look at the first 3, love, joy, and peace, in your notes, they are transforming. Okay? Love, joy, and peace. Transforming. Love, joy, and peace. These are what we call inner being transformations. Okay? Bible says, "Be ye not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Romans chapter 12, verse number 1. Okay? So these are inner being transformations. Can I just say, and we say this in our beginner's class, and we say it all through, that we're never going to change the way we act until we change the way we think. We must think differently. If we are going to act right outwardly, you know, and we should, if we're going to act right outwardly, then we must act right inwardly. Throughout the ministry of Reformers Unanimous, we tell you all the time that God wants to do a work from the inside out. You know, we tell people when they come to church, come as you are. You know, a lot of people have given me the excuse of, well, if I just get these couple things right, then I'll come to church. No, you just missed the whole point. You know, God wants to do a change in us. Okay? A greater change needs to be done in me than by me. A greater work needs to be done in me than by me. So that is, these are new being, inner being transformations. Love, joy, and peace. It's something that works on the inside of me and then flows out. Okay? Now as we get to the other 6 fruits, we have conforming. This is long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. This is what we call outer being conformations. We conform to these things. This is what other people pick, you know, fruits. Remember, we talked about the aspect of this is fruit, right? An apple tree does not bear apples for itself. Okay? Who enjoys the apple from an apple tree? You do. The one that picks the fruit. Picks the fruit. So let me ask you this. Who's picking your fruit? Are you willing to allow someone else enjoy the fruit of your life? Whether it's husbands, kids, people in church, you know, are we willing to allow God to work in us so that they can see God's love in me and get a blessing from it? And then we have the conforming long-suffering. You know, long-suffering is an enduring temperament that expresses itself in patience with the shortcomings of others. We got to conform to that. And we're never going to conform to that if we're not loving. If we don't have the inner being transformations. So, then we have reforming. That's faith down at the bottom. We'll get all through these at some point, sometime or another. Reforming, faith, meekness, and temperance. These are what we call new being reformations. That comes from the word reform. Reformer is unanimous, right? That word, reform, means to correct. We're all coming to correct some type of behavior that we have in our life, right? Reformer is unanimous. That's why we do. That's why we come. It literally means to change from bad to good. I hope tonight we want to change. If we don't come for the purpose of changing, why are we coming? Love. First one, love. Now we need to understand something. In the New Testament, or in the Greek language, remember the New Testament is written in Greek, okay? The Old Testament written in Hebrew, okay? Alright, so in the New Testament, in Greek, there are several different types of this word love. As you see the word love, it may not always mean this type of love. Okay? Just to go over a couple of them, the first one that we see in the Greek, but it's not in the New Testament, is eros. Eros love. Okay? This is what we would call a physical love. We get the word erotic from this word. So as you can imagine how that is, that's not found in the New Testament. Okay? So that's the first one. The next one is a love that we call Philadelphia. Okay? Philadelphia love. How many of you know that Philadelphia is called the city of what? Brotherly love. Okay? That's because Philadelphia in the Greek means brotherly love. You know, it's derived from the word philos, which means an affectionate regard. Close friends, shall we say. Okay? And then there's what we call philostargis, which means family affectionate. Love that you have for kids, parents, different things like that. And then you have, of course, agape. In the Greek, agape love. This is, of course, the highest form of love, which is what our definition is of love. It's God's love. Let's look at letter number A in your notes. This is put such a way, it says, God offers the fruit of the Spirit, love. Okay? Now that's put in there very specifically. The word offer means to give someone the opportunity for acceptance or rejection. That's what the word offer means. So God offers the fruit of the Spirit, love. Does not mean we accept it. That is why oftentimes we struggle in our behavior. Because God's offering it. He says the fruit of the Spirit is love. And He says up there in verse number 16, if we'll walk in the Spirit, we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So our fruit or outcome of the Spirit is love. God offers it. Doesn't automatically mean that we take it, that we show it, that we give it. Okay? So it's very important that with all these fruits, we understand the aspect that God offers it. It's there for us. Doesn't necessarily mean that we're living by it. Love. Number one in your note says, love is the willing, sacrificial giving of oneself to the benefit of others without thought of return. Now, this love, agape love, cares for the other person more than oneself. It cares for the other's well-being more than itself. And the thought behind it is that it wants to do anything it can to keep the person from sin. God, God wants us to walk in the Spirit so that we'll not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Lust of the flesh is sin. That's sin. And God desires to keep us. You realize tonight that God desires to keep you away from sin. He loves you so much, and He doesn't want to see you go down that road. Okay? He cares for you. He loves you. So He doesn't want to see you go down the road of sin because He knows what's down that road, which is destruction. Destruction. Number two in your notes. This type of love is evident in many places in Scripture. How do I know that God loves me? It's a good question. You know, people in the world may ask, how do I know that God loves me? We got all this going on, How do I know that God loves me? Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Look at this, John 3:16, probably the greatest Bible verse in the whole wide world. The most recognized. For God so loved the world that He what? Gave. Oh my goodness. Willing. Was He willing? Yes, He was. He said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Sacrificial. He was the sacrifice, right? Giving. I believe it was it Amy Carmichael that said, if I'll probably get it wrong, you can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. Amy Carmichael, missionary to India for 55 years, never had a furlough, never came home. Great woman. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5:8, but God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 2, and the Bible says, and walk in love, or follow after this type of love, as Christ also hath loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. But notice number three in your notes. If we do not yield to God's leading to demonstrate love toward others, they will not be convinced that we are believers in and followers of Christ. Now, 1 John. Let me get there. I meant to get there earlier. 1 John chapter number 4, verse number 8. The Bible says, He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. We can't show others Christ without love. This type of love. Remember, this is not a love that we in and of ourselves generate. Okay? We can't love others for just the aspect of loving them because they get on our nerves too much. We might as well not fool ourselves in thinking we're all that in a bag of chips, because we're not. I can't love like this. It must be God in me loving like this. Now, it's so important for us to demonstrate this love, to walk in the Spirit so we demonstrate this love so that we can lead others to Christ. John 13, verses 34 and 35, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another. As I have loved you, that also love one another. Notice what he says, by this all men, everybody, lost, Christians, atheists, Islam, by this shall all men know that you're what? My disciples. If you have love one to another. I mean, from what I understand through the passage of Scripture, he's talking about brethren. He's talking to the disciples, God's people. God, I mean, we have a hard enough time loving one another. It's sad. Have a hard enough time loving one another, more or less the world. Those that are lost, we've got to love one another. Jesus said, hey, love one another. Listen, it takes God's love to love everybody. It really does. It takes God's love to love everybody. 1 John chapter 3, verse 23, it says, this is His commandment, that we should believe on the name of His Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another, as He gave us commandment. Now notice this, Matthew chapter number 22, very popular passage of Scripture. We go over this in chapter number 2. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. The second is like unto it. What does it say? Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, I find it very interesting that God says the second is like unto it. It's right up there with it. Love God. Love others. Wow. So God tells me that in the same way that I'm to love Him, I'm to love others. That's quite a commandment. I mean, we understand and we know that God's way up here. I mean, you know, God is God. But Jesus Himself said, the second is like unto it. And then He goes on to say, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Everything in this book hinges on the aspect of our love. On these two commandments hang, I mean, every bit of it. It's all fulfilled in the aspect of loving God and loving others. I find it surprising that God doesn't put you anywhere in the equation. He doesn't put me anywhere in the equation. The modern day Eastern philosophical millennial movement is you need to love yourself. I don't see that anywhere in Scripture. I know Jesus said to love God and love others. I don't see anywhere where He throws you in there. Our identity is not found within ourself, it's found in Christ. You need to recognize that. Number 4 in your notes. And we'll be done. We'll hit this and then we'll go to the house. Number 4. Love is God's tool for showing unselfish favor to undeserving people. Unselfish favor to undeserving people. How many of you know somebody that is not very deserving of love? They get on your last nerve. They treat you terribly. They literally despise you. What he says? How are you going to win them? By telling them they're horrible people? Wish God just strike you down. Yeah, no, that ain't going to get the job done. Love is God's tool for showing unselfish favor to undeserving people. Can I just say that I was undeserving when God showed me love? I wasn't deserving of God's love, but He gave it to me anyway. Boy, if we would ever come to grips with that, that we in all our self-righteousness, in all of our coming to church, in all of our doing the right things, that we were still undeserving of God's love, how much would that help us to love others? Just have a desire to want them to comprehend the love of God that we have. How would that change our outlook? How much better of a missionary would we be? See, that's what happens to a missionary. A missionary gets a burden. And it changes them. And they have a desire for those people, wherever God has called them to, God has placed inside them a desire for them to know God's love. And that's what their whole life is about. Showing the love of God to that people group, whatever it is, whatever it may be, wherever it may be. Would to God we'd have a burden like that. I think many of us, myself included, lose that burden. We got to understand that God, love is God's tool for showing love to undeserving people. And let's remember where we were at. Love, the willing sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without thought of return. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you this week that every day you get up, I want you to go to this book and I want you to read this definition. Love, the willing, sacrificial giving of oneself to the benefit of others without thought of return, and say, God, help me today to love like that. If we'll come to God with that type of attitude, He'll change us. Being willing to lay down all of our love and be clothed with Christ's love. That's what's going to change the world in which we live in. That's what's going to change our homes. It's what's going to change our jobs. It's what's going to change this church. Love. It's a reason, I honestly believe. Now, one's not any more important than the other, okay? They're all the fruit of the Spirit. But I do believe that God put love first for a reason. So may God help us to show this love. Let's pray. Father, we love You today. So thankful, Lord, for the love.